Let us pray. Almighty God, look with loving mercy on your family for whom our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed, to be given over to the hands of sinners and to suffer death on the cross, who now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it is traditional on this night, for centuries, for us to hear the words of the Gospel of John, his passion account. And so I invite you to turn to the handout you received and join with me as you have a part in this to play with us tonight as well. Let us hear now the words of John's passion. The passion according to our Lord, of our Lord according to John, the 18th and 19th chapters. Now Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place because Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas brought an detachment of soldiers together with police from the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that was to happen to him, came forward and asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
And they answered, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus replied, Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they stepped back and fell to the ground. Again, he asked them,
"Whom are you looking for?"
And they said,
"Jesus of Nazareth."
And Jesus answered,
"I told you that I am he. So if you are looking for me, let these men go."
This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "I did not lose a single one of those whom you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it, struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. And Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword back into its sheath. I am not to drink the cup that the Father has given me."
So the soldiers, their officer, and the Jewish police arrested Jesus and bound him. First they took him to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas and the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better to have one person die for the people. Simon Peter and the other disciple followed Jesus. Since that disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest, but Peter was standing outside at the gate. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out, spoke to the woman who guarded the gate, and brought Peter in. The woman said to Peter,
"You are also one of the man's disciples, are you?"
Peter said,
"I am not."
Now the slaves of the police, who had made a charcoal fire because it was cold, and they were standing around it and warming themselves, Peter also was standing with them and warming himself. And then the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered,
"I have spoken openly to the world. I have always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews come together. I have said nothing in secret. Why do you ask me? Ask those who heard what I said to them. They know what I said."
And when he had said this, one of the police standing nearby struck Jesus on the face, saying,
"Is that how you answer the high priest?"
Jesus answered,
"If I have spoken wrongly, testify to the wrong. But if I have spoken rightly, why do you ask me?
Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. And they asked him, You are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said,
I am not.
One of the slaves of the high priest, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, asked,
did I not see you in the garden with him?
And again Peter denied it, and in that moment the cock crowed. Then they took Jesus from Caiaphas to Pilate's headquarters. And it was early in the morning. They themselves did not enter the headquarters so as to avoid ritual defilement and to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate went out to them and said,
what accusation do you bring against this man?
And they answered,
this man
will not be. Pilate said to them, they replied, this was to fulfill what Jesus said when he indicated the kind of death he was to die. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him,
are you the commander?
And Jesus answered, and then Pilate replied,
I am not a Jew. Am I? Your own nation and the chief priest hand you over to me. What have you done?
And Jesus answered,
my kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being in the court. As it is, my kingdom is not from here.
And so Pilate asked him,
so you are king?
And he answered,
you say that I am king. For this is how I am born, and for this I have come to this world. Testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth, this is my
voice. And Pilate asked
him, what is the truth?
After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them,
I find no case against this like that. But you have a cover that I really someone for you as a method. You want me to be released for you to the king or the Jew of the Jews?
They shouted in reply, now Barabbas was a band. And then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. And the soldiers rolled a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they dressed him in a purple robe. And they kept coming up to him and saying,
hail,
as they said this, they struck him on the face. Pilate went out again and said to them, so Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them,
here is the man.
When the chief priests and the police saw him, they shouted,
crucify him, crucify him.
And Pilate said to them,
take him yourselves and crucify him. I find no case against him.
They answered him, now, when Pilate heard this, he was more afraid than ever. He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus,
where are you from?
But Jesus gave him no answer. And Jesus answered him,
you would have no power over me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin.
And now from then on, Pilate tried to release him. But the Jews cried out, Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at the place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now, it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. And he said to the Jews,
"Here is your king."
And they cried out,
"Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!"
Pilate asked them,
"Shall I crucify your king?"
The chief priest answered,
"We have no king but the emperor."
And then he handed him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross by himself, he went out to what is called the place of the skull, which in Hebrew is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus between them. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read the inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Hebrew, in Latin, and in Greek. Then the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate,
"Do not write, King of the Jews, but as this man said, I am the King of the Jews."
And Pilate answered, "Now when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, divided them into four parts, one for each other, for each soldier. They also took his tunic. Now the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from the top, and so they said to one another,
Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who
will get it. This was to fulfill what the scripture says, they divided my clothes among themselves, and for my clothing they cast lots. And that is what the soldiers did. Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother,
Woman, here's your son.
Then he said to the disciple,
Here's your mother.
And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. After this, when Jesus knew that all was now finished, he said, in order to fulfill the scripture,
I am thirsty.
A jar full of sour wine was standing there. So they put a sponge full of wine on a branch of hyssop and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the wine, he said,
It's finished.
And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, the Jews did not want the bodies left on the cross during the Sabbath, especially because that Sabbath was a day of great solemnity. And so they asked Pilate to have the legs of the crucified men broken and the bodies removed. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. Instead, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once blood and water came out. He who saw this has testified so that you also may believe. His testimony is true, and he knows that he tells the truth. These things occurred so that scripture might be fulfilled. None of his bones shall be broken. And again, another passage of scripture which says, they will look on the one whom they have pierced. Now after these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, though a secret one because of his fear of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him take away the body of Jesus. Pilate gave him permission, so he came and removed his body. Nicodemus, who had at first come to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus and wrapped it with the spices and linen cloths according to the burial custom of the Jews. Now there was a garden in the place where he was crucified, and in the garden there was a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. And so, because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. The passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Growing up, I could never make sense of this night. Why it was called Good Friday. Sad Friday, sure. Tragic Friday, absolutely. Melancholy Friday, sure. Fearful Friday, perhaps even. But Good Friday? It didn't quite make sense to me. I once saw a cartoon which said, if my God was killed on a Friday, I certainly would not call it good. And indeed, for many people, the idea that this is a good Friday is a source of cognitive dissonance, perhaps. But as I have grown, not only older, but more faithful, I've come to realize that how many things in our lives which we would call good are also parts of our lives that have in them days that are full of sadness, days that are full of tragedy, days that are full of melancholy, days that are full of fear. Think about your most blessed relationships. The spouse, or with children, or with your family, or parents. I would dare say that you would probably say, most of you at least, that they are good. Yet I would also dare say that you probably have had some days in those relationships that were sad. Perhaps melancholy. Perhaps even tragic. Think about your profession, the way that you identify yourself when people ask you, what do you do? Think about that. And I would dare say most people say that that is good. However, how many of you have had in those experiences days that brought you fear? Or tragedy? Or sadness? Or melancholy? It dawned on me that almost everything in this world that I hold most dear, my family, my children, my friends, my ministry here among you, all things which I would call good and good and very good, also bring me days of tears and days of fear. And days of melancholy and days of tragedy. I would dare say that this day is good. Simply because this is the day when God enters in most fully to the brokenness which He has come to ease. The sin which He has come to erase. The fracturedness that He has come to heal. It is on this day that our God fully understands what it is like to be us. Broken. Beaten. Afraid. Uncertain and done wrong by forces that are beyond our control. You see, on this day, Jesus is most fully human. because he allows himself to die. To experience the great common denominator that every single one of us shares. We don't all look the same. We don't have the same stories, the same skin color. We don't have the same backstories. We don't have the same jobs. We don't have the same politics. We don't pull for the same teams on Sundays or during the Final Four. We don't vote the same way. We don't travel to the same vacations. We don't share the same friends. We are so very different. Yet in this one way, this powerful way, we are all the same. We will all die. And Jesus meets us there. And it is there, in our brokenness and our sin and our death, that our Lord claims us most fully as his own. For nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death nor life. The cartoon reads, if my God died on a Friday, I certainly wouldn't call it good. The cartoon continues. And neither should you, provided, of course, that your God stay dead. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us stand. Thank you. continue now with an ancient prayer that has been part of this ritual night for centuries. I invite those who are able to kneel as we share together the bidding prayer. Let us pray, brothers and sisters, for the Holy Church of God throughout the world, that God, the Almighty Father, guide it and gather it together so that we may worship Him in peace and tranquility. Almighty and eternal God, You have shown Your glory to all nations in Jesus Christ. Guide the work of the church. Help it to persevere in faith. Proclaim Your name and bring salvation to people everywhere. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for pastors and other ministers, for all servants of the church, and for all the people of God. Almighty and eternal God, Your Spirit guides the church and makes it holy. Strengthen and uphold Your pastors and our leaders. Keep them in health and safety for the good of the church. And help each of us to faithfully do the work to which You have called us. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Let us pray for those preparing for baptism, that God make them responsive to His love and give them new life in Jesus Christ. Almighty and eternal God, You continually bless the church with new members. Increase the faith and understanding of those preparing for baptism. Give them a new birth as Your children and keep them in the faith and communion of Your holy church. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us pray for all our brothers and sisters who share our faith in Jesus Christ, that God may gather and keep together in one church all those who know Christ as Lord. Almighty and eternal God, You give Your church its unity. Look with favor on all who follow Jesus, Your Son. We are all consecrated to You by our baptism. Make us one in the fullness of faith and keep us one in the fellowship of love. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the Jewish people, the first to hear the word of God, that they may receive the fulfillment of the covenant's promises. Almighty and eternal God, long ago You gave Your promise to Abraham and his posterity. Hear the prayers of Your church, that the people You first made Your own may arrive with us at the fullness of redemption. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Let us pray for those who do not believe in Christ, that the light of His Holy Spirit may show them the way of salvation. Almighty and eternal God, enable those who do not acknowledge Christ to receive the truth of the gospel. Help us, Your people, to grow in love for one another, to grasp more fully the mystery of Your Godhead, and so to become more perfect witnesses of Your love in the sight of all people. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Let us pray for those who do not believe in God, that they may find Him who is the author and goal of our existence. Almighty and eternal God, You created humanity so that all might long to know You and have peace in You. Grant that, in spite of the hurtful things that stand in their way, they may all recognize in the lives of Christians the tokens of Your love and mercy, and gladly acknowledge You as the one true God and Father of us all. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for those who serve in public office, that God may guide their minds and hearts so that all of us may live in true peace and freedom. Almighty and eternal God, You are the champion of the poor, the oppressed. In Your goodness, watch over those in authority so that people everywhere may enjoy justice, peace, freedom, and a share and share in the goodness of Your creation. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray that God, the Almighty and Merciful Father, may heal the sick, comfort the dying, give safety to travelers, free those unjustly deprived of liberty, and rid the world of falsehood, hunger, and disease. Almighty and eternal God, You give strength to the weary and new courage to those who have lost heart. Hear the prayers of all who call on You amidst any trouble, and that they may have the joy of receiving Your help in their need. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our offering for this evening, there is a basket in the table in the back, and as you exit tonight, feel free to place your offering in there. But during this time, listen now and prepare your hearts for coming to the cross yet again as we listen to music for reflection. Thank you. conclude our time this Friday evening, gathering yet again around the cross. And come forward when you hear the bell toll. You will come forward as we sing together when we're there. And pick up the foot of the bed placed. And hold that out of your hand while we sing. The bell tolls as you're invited to come forward.
as each of us brought our votives forward, symbolizing our brokenness and sin that put Jesus on the cross. We take it back now, and if it has not already gone out, I invite you now to put out the flame. Do so knowing that our sin brings darkness, and Jesus experienced that darkness. We now continue with our solemn approaches and the seven last words of Jesus. O my people, O my church, what have I done to you? How have I offended you? Answer me. I led you out of slavery into freedom and delivered you through the waters of rebirth, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Holy God, holy and mighty,
holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. O my people, O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. 40 years I led you through the desert, feeding you with manna on the way. I saved you from the time of trial and gave you my body, the bread of heaven, that you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Holy God, holy and mighty,
holy and immortal, have mercy on us.
Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. O my people, O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I came to you in the least of your brothers and sisters when I was hungry, and you gave me no food. Thirsty, you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And you have prepared a cross for your
Savior. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal. Mercy. Woman, behold your son. Behold your mother. O my people, O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I led you on your way in a pillar of clouds and fire, but you led me to the judgment hall of Pilate. I guided you by the light of the Holy Spirit, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. My God, why have you forsaken me? O my people, O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I planted you as my fairest vineyard, but you brought forth bitter fruit. I made you branches of the vine and never left your side, but you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, have mercy on us. I thirst. O my people, O my church, what more could I have done for you? Answer me. I opened the waters to lead you to the promised land, but you opened my side with a spear. I washed your feet as a sign of my love, but you prepared a cross for your Savior. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal.
Have mercy on us.
It is finished. O my people, O my church, What more could I have done for you? Answer me. I lifted you up to the height, but you lifted me high on a cross. I raised you from death and prepared for you the tree of life. But you have prepared a cross for your Savior. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.